Welcome to Help from Future Self.
Hello, Archons. Welcome to Help from Future Self, the conversational KeyForge podcast by and for KeyForge friends. I'm your host, Sydney, and I'm joined this week by Nick, a.k.a. Drazcore from Archons Corner. Hey, Nick, how you doing?
Hey, Sydney. Good, good. How are you?
I'm fantastic. Really, really glad to have you back as an expert in all things sealed. But okay. That is what we are talking about today. We're going to be talking about sealed, but small, teeny, tiny bit of news before we get into it, that the day that this drops, if you are listening to it on the Monday that it drops, it is the last day of the pledge manager. So if you haven't backed the campaign, you can go in there and back new, or if you have backed the campaign, definitely get in there and fill out all the information you need and give them your address so that you get all the goodies that you already paid for. Did you back the campaign, Nick?
Yeah, I did the what is it, the 450 level? Which one was that? I forget which one that is.
The one with all the good stuff.
Yeah, it's all the name decks, which are things that I'm very, very excited about.
Yay!
So I got three new name decks, and then the Floomp plushie, which my kids will like.
Do you know which houses you're picking?
Well, yeah, I do. So there's the word on the street. So if this is your last chance, right? If you're listening to this now, the word on the street that the best combination, and this is through, playing at
KFC.
Worlds at KFC and through spoilers and whatnot. So the word on the street is people feel like you got to go Geistoid. So new house, but also real strong. And then Mars is real strong in the set. Lots of good stuff. And then Untamed is the third that a lot of people are saying is the way to go. So
that's
what the word on the street is. But, as these things go, even though we see the cards, right, once people play them, start figuring out what's going on, this, that, the other thing might be better or worse.
Sure.
And I guess to tie it into this episode, right, your sealed favorite houses may not be the same thing as your Archon favorite houses, because you want to get different things when you're playing sealed than Archon.
That's a fantastic point. So personally, I didn't even think about it until you said it, but I'm entirely influenced by the sealed games that I had at KFC, and I am not actually going Geistoid, because as much as, like, yes, people are saying that house is incredibly powerful, for some reason the mechanic of discarding is not my playstyle. So I've already been like struggling to love the mechanic. The set is fantastic. I am not saying anything negative about the set. I want everyone to understand that. I am really excited for Grim Reminders, but my playstyle is not the like get rid of cards to like turn the switch on for Haunted and not be able to use the cards. Like I love manipulating the exact kind of cards I'm going to use. And so the idea that like Geistoid is probably the like height of using the new mechanic, I'm stepping away from that. But I like your Mars and Untamed idea, because I had Untamed in my sealed and it was the best. But I also had Brodnar in my sealed at KFC, and I loved it as well. So like I didn't even think about it till you said it, but I'm going to go Untamed, Mars, and Brodnar. And that's because of the sealed experience that I had was so good with those three houses outside of the one house that was in fact the most powerful, but not my play style.
Yeah, well, I think there's some interesting things there, right? So I think playstyle's real. Different players will gravitate towards different things, and knowing what you're good at, what your strengths are, can really help you, as a pilot for piloting that deck. You're welcome, Quick Draw. And so, I don't know if you're...
I totally know what you're saying. Doesn't
like the word pilot. I was like, I'm going to start using it. I do actually like the term, but that's a whole different story. So, anywho, so I think for the decks you pick and the stuff that's going to have your cool names on it, you should totally do the ones that are your playstyle. But I'm excited and interested to try things when they're not necessarily my playstyle, because you learn something new about how the game works, how these different sets interact. And even if it wouldn't be your choice for Archon, like learning more about what are different elements you can take advantage of in a sealed situation, I think is important.
Absolutely. And I think that's a fantastic point. And there are different ways to get really used to a set, and especially when a set is new, and that does include sealed. So why don't we just hop right into that? So first and foremost, my first question to you is, how have you taken to sealed alliance? Like, I know that you've in the past loved sealed, been really good at sealed. Like, sealed alliance is a new way to play sealed.
Yeah, it's it's almost as good as regular sealed. it's the game before the game,
sure.
Which is what alliance is, right? And so way back when I was in whatever junior high or whatever, my friends were like, let's play Magic. So I was like, okay. And I liked playing Magic the Gathering, but I didn't like the game before the game. Which card should I put in? This, that, the other thing.
Sure.
It's like, I was like, I just want to play the game. I don't want to sit and stare at my cards and figure out, agonize over what should or shouldn't go in. Right. So
totally.
That's part of the reason I love Keyforge is like, hey, you just got to deal with what you got.
Right.
And, how do you maximize the value of the things that are good and the things that are not so good? And
right.
I think that's really interesting. I don't know why that's massively different from, me searching on DOK for hours and hours and hours and looking at different decks and different combinations of cards. So I'm not really sure why it's different, but for some reason
tell
it
you.
Is in my brain.
I can tell you why I think it's different is because I am perfectly happy sitting there for hours and hours and hours. And then when I get 20 minutes to look at three new decks from a new set and have to pick the cards that I want, the stress level is so high.
Yep.
Like, I actually have a record now of the past couple of times that I have played Sealed Alliance, which has been a handful. I just recently had the City of Chicago Dice Dojo celebrated 1 year of throwing events, and they did a sealed event, and it was a Sealed Alliance. And at KFC as well, the deck that I ended up putting together was worse than at least two of the decks would have been by themselves. And like,
wah,
so
wah.
I feel like I should have learned my lesson by now that when playing Sealed Alliance, go with a deck. Just go with an Archon, like one of the three as a deck by itself. And, I should be better off than my own skills at putting together a combination of pods.
Yeah, so I did. So interestingly, not with the, so we went to KFC, right? We got our Alliance for Grim Reminders,
uh-huh.
Right? With three decks, played, had a good time. So I enjoyed it, right? Even though quote unquote, it was Alliance, had a great time. Now interesting, when I came back home and went to my local this week, I undid the Alliance and just, we had some Grim Reminders decks.
Sure.
And so I just played one of them. And interestingly, even though definitely the Alliance I made was better than any of the three independent ones, but like
nice.
There was a really crazy combo that I did not foresee in
sure.
one of my decks that I definitely, when I was looking for, hey, what Alliance to make, I was not thinking about it all. It's actually probably going to be pretty unusual because it involves some crosshouse rares and stuff, but so there's that there's a Brobnar rare that's like it's after fight ready this creature.
Okay.
And then there's but then you can get Halicore is in set, which gives your flank skirmish.
And that's
then
an untamed.
There's also yes, an untamed. And then there's Shock Herder in Brobnar, so you can ready. So I have all three of those.
Oh wow.
So you can add a hand one-sided board wipe. Your opponent.
Oh my gosh.
As long as they only have six dudes, which is pretty cool. Oh, and it's
yeah.
got it also has a Brick Nasty, which is nice.
Just
now that's plot. Like that's like is Christmas land, right? Like because now that I've said this out loud, people are gonna be like, well, you can't play the Halicore the same turn, just kill the Halicore, and then it doesn't work, right? So
sure.
But fun stuff like that is to me like these weird combos that in a constructed style format, you'd never like try to pull off, but
sure.
in a sealed format, you'd be like, I'm going to go for it. And like,
oh, totally.
Sometimes it works and it's awesome. And sometimes it doesn't. And it's still fun.
And it's much more likely to work too, because the chance that they have a way to react immediately to things is a lot lower.
And they don't know it's coming. Right.
Right.
Which is a big difference. Yeah,
totally.
Yeah.
Awesome. So, like, the biggest reason I have you here today is during the Q&A, a lot of what most of the answers included was, this is like the time of evaluation. We will get back to you in 4 to 6 weeks. We'll think about it. And after,
yep.
after 4 to 6 weeks, like, we'll be able to answer that. And that happened over and over again to a lot of the answers. So I kind of thought this was a poignant time to have an episode specifically dedicated to something I want them to think about over the next 4 to 6 weeks. And that is, should Sealed Archon or Sealed Alliance, either one, be a main event at Vault Tours or Nationals going forward?
Yes. All right, that's the podcast, right?
Yeah. All over. I have a ton of reasons listed here, and I thought I would just like start going down the list, and we can chat about it. But like, what's the biggest reason that jumps out to you? What's the first thing that comes to your mind? Like, what if you had like Josh's ear, if you had CTP's ear right now?
Yeah.
What would you say?
What would I say to CTP? Because like what I say to CTP is maybe different than what Ooh. I would say to other people, right?
Sure.
Well, because you gotta have the business angle.
Gotcha.
To what you say to him, right? Because he's running a company, and we want that company to be successful.
Right? You better believe it.
You know, I think sometimes, I mean, obviously we complain about a lot of stuff on Archon's Corner. Sometimes too much, sometimes enough, you know. And we agree that they should run it as a business, and they should try to make themselves successful. Now we complain about how sometimes we feel like they're not doing they could be doing a better job of that. But so what I would say, anywho, what I would say to CTP is something effective like, hey, you know, if you look at what's your biggest opportunity for revenue.
Sure.
And what really leans into that, which makes your game a differentiated experience from other games. I think if you put those two things together and you say, hey, what is that? I think it's Sealed, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Because like you're right from a revenue perspective, right? You're encouraging people to buy more product, right? That's important, right? You do have players have a lot of decks, and at some point players start to think to themselves, why should I just buy more decks?
Sure.
Well, if you're buying that deck as the play experience that night, makes a ton of sense.
Right.
Otherwise, maybe I should just buy something off the secondary market, right? Instead of dropping, you know, I don't know, what did I just say I spent, which wasn't even the whole number because I had a bunch of add-ons, right? $450 on a bunch of decks. Maybe I should just wait and buy one deck for $450 off the secondary market.
Sure.
Right? So there are folks that are thinking that way. And the secondary market will, you know, help a game for sure, having mm-hmm. a robust secondary market. But that is not money directly in GG's pocket.
Absolutely.
Or Sealed, right? Money directly in your pocket.
And the along those lines, mm-hmm. like, I completely agree, because one of the things that having large events like that does is it actually trickles down a little bit, because people come back from having such a fantastic experience and then they want to do the same thing at their local store. So even though like having a vault tour is a big money-making event, it's a one-off that may then trickle to more money-making events for stores once those people go home and want to continue to play Sealed. So I agree. The money aspect is a direct benefit to Ghost Galaxy, because it also means that people that have enjoyed themselves do want to continue. And people really do mirror what we do at large events at their locals, especially if like they're trying to build a scene for the first time. Like, what do they have to go off of except for the large events Ghost Galaxy is already throwing?
Yep. And I think and Sealed is very approachable. It's very much it's easier for folks to say, hey, maybe I got a chance to do well in a high level Sealed event than a high level Archon or high level Alliance, just because, you know, the perceived bar there is a lot higher in those other formats.
Right. Think that Archon is a foregone conclusion if certain people or decks show up, whereas for Sealed, you can literally walk in and consider yourself a possible champion.
Right. And so I think that creates a formula that is advantageous to a company. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, I think that it is also an experience that other games cannot easily offer, right? So now other games can do draft and such, which is more similar to Alliance. So Alliance Sealed is more similar to other games, but sure. Your True Sealed is I know draft isn't quite the same, right? Because you're passing around, but you know, I think no other game can offer you, hey, you buy this one thing and you have to figure it out and you have to pilot, you have to pilot it effectively in order to really make it shine. And so I don't know. I would say something to the effect to CTP. I'd probably say something different to Josh. I don't know, or to others, but
Well, I wanna grasp on to that, because another thing that Christian has specifically said is that he doesn't think it actually does test a high level skill set like Archon or Alliance would. And so I think
he's wrong.
I was gonna say, like, you were the perfect person poised to actually, like, if you were to be put in front of him to tell him why he's wrong, what would you say? Like, what kind of value does this skill set of Sealed bring to high level play?
Well, they lean into different things, right? So what does Archon and Alliance reward? It rewards repeated play with a single deck, mm-hmm. which also means you're buying fewer decks from them. And it rewards being able to read your opponent's Archon card.
Yes.
And being able to identify how that matches up to your deck. And I think, and this is the area where I myself need to, I think, improve a little bit more when it comes to Archon, which is, how do I think more about both that which counters them and that which I'm doing that is sort of either protected or how can I maneuver to protect myself from them so I can just keep doing what I want to do, right? So there's a lot of understanding of what your opponent's Archon means for the matchup.
Sure.
So that's definitely a skill. Sealed much more rewards playing with a great variety of decks, which maybe means you're buying more decks, maybe.
Kind of, totally, 100%.
Yeah. And it rewards knowing more obscure combinations. It rewards a focus on your own deck, but not your specific deck, right? It rewards focusing on, hey, I can quickly figure out that my deck is strong here, but it's going to be weak here. It also rewards high knowledge of the set you're in, such that you can say things like, oh, okay, well, I know that such and such card is uncommon, so what's the likelihood if the opponent has the house that maybe they have this card and I know that's going to be an issue for me, or it's rare, I shouldn't worry about it, or it's a common, I really, really do need to worry about it, right? Like, so it's a different skill set. There's definitely overlap, right? You could create a Venn diagram, I'm sure. But I don't think it's any more or less skillful. I think it leans into different things that some players really appreciate.
Right.
Other players not, right? I don't think Sealed is the best, quote unquote, or, you know, the best format for everyone, right? There's definitely folks who love those things in Archon and Alliance that I mentioned. So they do at this point, I think, have to have three formats unless they want to rotate, which is a different ball game.
Right, totally. And I think you're completely correct that it also tests a broader ability to think about your deck and what your opponent might have, because when you sit down to play an Archon game, I'm pretty sure that a lot of people who went to Worlds who already had an invite started planning their Worlds matchups and thinking about who might be there and what they were good and bad against. And so when they sat down against an opponent where they got to look at the Archon card and say, okay, I've either maybe specifically practiced against this deck, or I know exactly what it's supposed to do. Or on the Alliance side, it's like, you're probably either Genka or Scholar Spam. So, like, there is very, very clear metas. Whereas when someone has a couple sealed decks to pick from, even if it's Sealed Alliance and you're picking pods, you're still you don't know exactly what they're going to have because they don't have the best of the best to pick from. So they're going to go for what goes best together. And you have to like measure the skill of your opponent and what they may have picked. And the whole set is going to be available to them. Whereas if I'm sitting down across the table from a Genka, I don't know how long I'm looking at their Archon list to know what I have to do to stop them. But also not seeing the Archon list at all means that until you've gone through that deck, anything is a possibility.
Or even in Winds of Exchange, it's still possible because maybe that key card was tokenized, right? So it's even crazier.
Absolutely. So you said that if you were talking to Josh, you'd say something different than if you were talking to CTP. So how would you measure that? Like, what would you say to the person in charge of OP if, like, well, let's say you convinced CTP and Josh had CTP's blessing? What would you say to Josh?
Well, so I'm going to make some assumptions again, putting a little bit of my business hat on. I'm assuming that Josh's incentives is to drive OP play and sales and to bring those numbers up, right? Whereas CTP, I would talk more strategically, broadly, like, what do you have? How should that align with your strategy? I'd probably talk with Brad more. Josh. I don't know who Brad is. Josh.
about New hire, next to
yeah,
Janet.
Yeah. Janet. Yep. I did get a Janet deck, by the way. It's Janet Best of GG. That's
my
name
God.
Deck. Yep.
Amazing.
So
love it.
I can't wait till Jeremy has to package that one.
and listeners, if you don't know about the Janet joke, just go listen to any Argon's Corner episode. She's mentioned once an episode at least.
It's clearly the best GG employee. So Josh, what I would say to Josh is something to the effect probably of, hey, I think you could bring your numbers up. You could show more ticket sales if you also have sealed as a format in, in the vaults or in these big events. Hey, go and look at the numbers in vaults pre-pandemic in the FFG days, and you can see, hey, which ones were the best attended. They were the sealed ones.
Yep, sure.
And so, hey, if you're probably being measured on how many people you're bringing out, this is a way to do that.
Absolutely. And like tying into that, like all of the reasons that we've said aside, people love sealed. Like they could love it for reasons that we haven't even mentioned here or reasons that don't even benefit Ghost Galaxy. And like, for me, one of the reasons I love it is because of the discovery, like whether I'm doing it in a tournament setting or like on my local on Tuesdays, like I just love the idea of opening a new deck. And so sealed has been such a big driver of people to play the game for such a long time. It feels like so quintessential that a vault tour level event testing skill is there, but also enjoying Keyforge. Like it feels like the best of both worlds to me.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. And I, you know, I mean, they could try to take an option to rotate sort of like the old FFG style. Mm-hmm. Now that would mean more players in a single tournament, which from one lens is maybe good. Though they look at two things. If you look ahead to what they desire, I think they desire the size of these events to be. You probably do want a couple different ones at the same time, maybe for duration. Although sure. I don't know, maybe that requires you get more judges. But plus, there are folks, right? Even though I'm, you know, a huge fan of sealed, I know there's plenty of people who don't like sealed because of that. Hey, I don't know what I'm going to get. And hey, I could just get decks that I just basically have no chance, which can happen. That sure. is like folks are not wrong that can happen. So I know folks like Second Act, right? He's from the Key Warrior or Weekend Warrior. What was his podcast? Oh, there you go. Yeah, that one. great guy. And but I know he said, hey, if it was just a sealed, probably wouldn't be worth it to him to travel to attend, right? So which I understand. I understand right. that. And now, you know, now they committed themselves basically to Alliance, so they probably can't easily undo that. So
well, sealed Alliance being a thing, I think really does kind of bring sealed into the forefront there too. I I'm curious whether a Sealed Alliance event for a new set is a good idea because of the way that, like, experiencing that at KFC with Grim Reminders, like, the sheer amount of cards I didn't know, I don't think I put together the best alliance I could have. But I also don't know, like, what do you think about the idea of, like, where in a set's life should there be high-level Vault Tour sealed events? Like,
day one. Let's rock and roll. I'm cool with any moment. Now, what I just said before about, hey, what is the skill of sealed, right? If it's like day one and nobody knows the cards, you sort of throw a little bit of what I said out the window, and you're probably ratcheting up the luck a little bit. And so that might turn some folks off. Would I go? Yeah, sure, I'd go. I'd have a good time.
And win the whole thing, you know.
Well, that probably won't happen again. Lightning can't strike twice, right? But, I would have a great time.
Absolutely. So I guess to wrap up this conversation about sealed, I want to, like, maybe give some listeners, what are some tips and tricks to get good at sealed? So when Ghost Galaxy listens to this episode, they decide, yes, we have to have a sealed Vault Tour. What can some of our listeners do, like, if they want to prepare for a big sealed event?
Play a lot of variety and don't necessarily always play the best deck you can possibly find. So part of it is, like, play sealed a whole bunch. But sure. Part of it is also, I think, so going to your local, so let's say, you know, a lot of locals can't do two events at the same time. Almost none can, right? So they're probably doing something like alternating formats or something. But hey, if you're going to Archon, don't just bring the best possible deck you can find.
I like it.
Maybe try to bring a deck that has something interesting, something where it's like, hey, I want to see if I can exploit this, and use that event to see how often you can make it happen, how much you can or cannot rely on that interesting combination of cards, and catalog that information away in your head. And then when you see that thing in one of your sealed decks that you open, you'll have a sense of, well, what's the likelihood I can take outsized advantage of this thing? Versus, you know, it's a trap. and maybe it's not going to work out so well for you. So use all of your opportunities to add to that information in your head and give yourself that little edge.
I love it. That's fantastic. I've literally never thought of using Archon as a way to practice for sealed, but the idea of bringing not the best deck, but a deck with something specific that is weird and otherwise unique, mm-hmm. That's fantastic. I love that. And along those lines, we cannot end an episode of Help from Future Self without the titular segment.
Help from Future Self.
So, Drezgor, you have one for us today.
Yeah, so this comes from the Celebration. It comes from Archon, right? So we're playing Archon. So I'm looking at my opponent's list. And one of the things that a lot of people say you should do, and something I'm trying to get better at in practice, is know how many of each types of cards are in your various opponents' houses. Ooh. And so some might say, well, that's less important now because you can look at the Archon card at any time. And sure, there is some truth to that, but I still think it's very helpful to have a good sense of what's where, to not have to always go stare at their card and rethink your turn, but to have that more, be able to turn it more into an intuition. So anywho, I'm looking at my opponent's Archon card and I'm scanning through it. I'm like, okay, they've got some good C, they've got some good this, they got a bunch of A, okay, but they have no scaling Ember Control.
Okay.
No scaling Ember Control. Cool. So I catalog that information away, and then we're like starting to play, and I'm like, you know, what is that weird legacy card on there? Or maybe it was before we actually started playing, but I'd already cataloged this incorrect information away in my head, right?
Oh no.
Which was what the heck is Last Scroll?
Well,
Last Scroll, right, is from Dark Tidings. Ooh. So, right, that's That was forever ago, especially considering if you're you have to play a lot of Archon because that's the only formats available for, right, for high level play. So I'm not playing with or against Dark Tidings much because Archon. and so the DTs were better sealed. Anywho, so the Last Scroll says, hey, when you forge your excess ember, like each of your creatures capture one of your excess ember, right? Which is from your own side, right? Basically giving it to your opponent. So it's kind of sort of scaling ember control.
Yep.
So what you shouldn't do is play out a whole bunch of Mars guys and, you know, with rebels and crystal hives, and you shouldn't just like burst real high with like, you know, a sizable board and then capture all that excess ember from yourself and give it to your opponent.
No.
That's a thing that you shouldn't do. So I guess the help from future self is when you see something that you're like, wait, what is that card? Like, don't just ask, but like properly catalog it away in your head as to, okay, this type of card, this is the type of scenario that I need to be worried about, such that you can say to yourself, oh, they do have one ember scaling ember control card. I haven't seen it yet. It is not safe to burst. You can more wisely make a decision as to whether or not to go nuts there, which I didn't need to do. I didn't need to do that huge burst right then. I just said, hey, I'm going to hit the gas and put pressure on my opponent.
Right.
Instead of having to go to, you know, seven and see what they can do. Right.
Right. I love that so much. Like, not only just like the specific cards and not knowing what they do, but also like categorizing the cards you see. Like, when you're looking at your opponent's Archon cards, like it also helps with the memorization. You don't have to memorize. You don't have to keep looking at their Archon card. If you're categorizing and then just keeping in your head, oh, they have 3 board clears. That's a lot, but none of them are in this specific house. So like, that's a lot easier to keep in your head. I love that.
Yep. So I failed at doing that.
So, well, we will all benefit from your failure in this instance.
Perfect.
So we are on Discord and Patreon. The links are in the show notes. You can find me on TCO and Discord as SC Steel. So Draz, where can people find you?
So I am over on the Archon's Corner podcast, one of the misfits, quote unquote, that are on that podcast. We have a very different vibe than Help from Future Self. We definitely cater a bit more to more experienced players. So we try to say cards, but sometimes we forget. And you also, as I mentioned before, we complain about Ghost Galaxy sometimes.
You have the Walkbot. He solves both those.
We do have the Walkbot when he's on. You know, I really enjoy the making content with those guys and just having a good time. You know, sometimes we joke we're more forging with friends really than a competitive podcast because we're just a bunch of friends joking around and giving each other a hard time. So
love it.
So check it out.
Amazing. So we will be back next week with another episode of Help from Future Self. Until then, stay forging.
Help from Future Self. Oh, wait. You put the sound clip in there, right? Is that what you did?
Not this time, I'm not.
Not this time.
You better believe that's making it into the cut.
Okay, sweet.
So, Drezgor, you have one for us today.